Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on another episode of Live with Joe. My name is Josh, and of course, we're here with Joe McGee.
Joe. Yes.
And we are so excited that you guys are joining us again, and we're so thankful for all of you, especially our partners that have been praying for for everything that we've been doing together and been able to reach people, not only through your prayers, but financially. Your giving has helped us reach
so many people.
You
cannot imagine what we're able to do because of the partners.
Yeah.
We went from reaching thousands to millions.
Yes.
We reached millions with the podcast.
Yes.
It's just, and our partners enabled the studio, everything we're doing, the simple state-of-the-art cameras, very simple, but very powerful. We're reaching millions.
Yes.
I mean, it's the last days, and buddy, God's moving like a freight train. So thank you, partners.
Yeah,
thank you.
We're so thankful for all of you that are watching and sharing it with your friends and your family as well. It's been reaching so many people, this podcast and these videos. And not only have we been reaching people with videos, but Joe's been traveling all around. And you actually can go see where he's going to be next by going to joemcgee.com and look at the event section, and you'll see all the different places.
Yep.
And pastors, if you'd like Joe to come, that's the same place that you'll be able to send
requests
as well.
Yes.
So we're excited to be with you today, and we really wanted to talk to you about dreaming again.
Mm.
And this can be in your relationship. This could be for yourself. And really, when you boil that down about dreaming, it comes down to having a vision.
Yes.
And it's important to have a vision. And wanted you just to share a little bit about that.
Well, biblically, it goes back to Proverbs 29. If you have no vision, you're going to perish.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is, I don't care what you've been believing God for, once you get there, the very next moment, what else are you going to believe for now?
Yeah.
Where are you going at? Because you sit down. You know, man, I worked hard. I've been believing God and whipping devils and, you know, whatever, and trying to get money. And I'm here. The split second you get there, you better start dreaming again.
Yeah.
You can never stop dreaming, because that's where the devil's going to come in.
Yeah.
And he'll back you up, and then you get tired and you get lazy. Well, I've earned this. You've not earned nothing. No, it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all what God's done through his son for us. And so we keep growing. We're just going to keep growing till we hear the trumpet sound. So you need to keep dreaming about your life, your business, your marriage. How can we make this better? The divorce court, I used to take our seniors to divorce court every year.
Hmm.
And so got permission of parents. We got in the balcony here in the county. And I said, guys, today you're going to hear two people at one time swore their undying love to one another. I'm going to love you forever. I'm going to love you. And you're going to hear two people who swore they'd love one another say more foul cuss words today than you've ever heard in your lifetime. Two people one time said they loved one another are going to get so mad, angry, they got two lawyers they're paying big money to, and they're trying to bust this thing up. What happened? They fell out of love. How do you fall out of love? You stop doing what love does.
Yeah.
And we've covered that in some of the other sessions, you know. God told the church that you need to remember, you need to repent, and you need to redo what you did.
Yeah.
And so you have to work to stay in love. It's a great opportunity. It's not a have-to thing. It's a get-to thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I get to go on vacation. I get to fall in love. I get to love my spouse. I get to serve them. I get to be something special. Because you get to heaven, when you get to heaven, God doesn't care what you did. He's going to care, did you do what he asked you to do? And so, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5. What's my job? Love my wife like Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me when I was not lovable.
Yep.
And so the vision thing, if we're going to do, I'm going to find somebody to spend the rest of my life giving my life away to.
Yeah.
That's what marriage is. What are we going to do? I want to give my life away. Who's the one person I want to bless the rest of my life? I don't care what happens. When they get through, when I hear, mm-hmm. I'm going to have two spouses in heaven. Because my first spouse passed away after being married 45 years. I got remarried. I want to have two women in heaven when I get there, stand before God and say, Father, I want to thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, second, I want to thank you for Joe. Second greatest thing ever happened to me was marrying Joe. I want to hear that come out of their mouth. People say, you're arrogant. No, that's biblical. I want them to say, I want to be the second greatest thing outside God's son that ever happened to them. And that is possible.
Yeah.
That can be done. But you got to plan that. You got to work at that. You got to have a vision for that. What's your job? I want to make my wife suck the lips off my face. Now, people laugh because they think you're being funny. No, I'm very serious before God. What do you want? My goal is to make my wife want to kiss me every day. Why? Because I'm that good.
Yeah.
I'm that good to you, sugar.
Yeah.
And that is my goal, to be good to you every day and get better at it tomorrow than I was today.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's important to don't allow any past failures or broken dreams to stop you from dreaming again.
Yes.
You've got to dream again. You've got to get another vision. Maybe you were hoping for something. Maybe you wanted something to happen and it didn't work out the way you wanted.
Welcome to planet Earth.
Yeah. This is what happens, but that you can't allow that to keep you into a state of depression. And I think that depression is ultimately rooted in a broken dream that
yep.
you were wishing for, you were hoping for. It didn't work out that way, and now you've stopped dreaming.
Every drugstore in America has a whole aisle of medical stuff just for depression.
Mm-hmm.
We are one of the most depressed nations on the face of the planet because there is so much potential that you think just didn't happen. And so, well, my life's never worked out. And I didn't get the job I wanted. I didn't marry the woman I wanted. My dog died. My boss fired me. You know, it's like, no, the Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day.
Yeah.
And it's a number that means eternal. You're going to fall a lot, but they get back up.
Yeah.
What makes you different? I fell down. What you do? I got back up.
Yeah.
What happened? I failed. What you do? I got back up. What happened? Your business went bankrupt. What you do? I started another one. I got back up. Took 7 years to clean it up, but I got back up. And so we love testimonies. Used to, the old full gospel businessman's days were the most powerful thing I ever heard. Grown men would stand up, you know, on a Saturday morning eating their breakfast, and they share testimony about how God had saved them in their business and got them out of debt and made them prosperous. And they might say two or three cuss words, giving their testimony. These aren't evangelists. These are just everyday men who they realize, God saved me. God helped me. God redeemed me. And I realize, so God's got big plans for me.
Yes.
I don't care what I've done. I'm not through. God's got big plans for me. This one couple came there, so successful. They're big, big farmers. And she got pregnant at age 45. Had a baby at age 45 and almost 46. And like, what, is this your grandbaby? No, this is ours. God has a wacky sense of humor. But man, they love that kid. And that kid's got it made because those parents, they were veterans.
Yes.
they knew what to do and what not to do. And so it's having a vision. What is it? I don't care what I've done. I'm going to do more tomorrow.
Yep.
I don't care what I accomplish. I'm going to accomplish more tomorrow.
Yep.
You cannot sit down. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to sit down and rest. No. There is no such thing. We don't need to rest. The Lord's our strength. You know, he's going to order our steps, direct our paths. What are you doing? Well, whatever I did, I'm going to do more tomorrow. And people said, listen, we've talked about vision for so long when I was in business, especially in ministry. I've seen people, and I've seen churches across America. We've traveled for 30 years. City after city, you go into some big 2,000-member church. What is that? Well, they went belly up. They went broke and lost all their people. What's that? That's a 4,000-member church. What happened? They went belly up and went broke. Because if you don't maintain that vision, there's a devil that wants to steal that from you.
Yeah.
I don't care how big your vision is, the minute you get a vision, you're going to attract hell.
Yeah.
I remember when I did a funeral for an aunt years ago. I was walking down the hallway. We're going to the graveside service. And I have a great uncle that I love. Great guy. He's not saved. We're working on it. And said, you preachers, and I just preached the service. You preachers, you just use that Bible to scare people into your service and get bigger offerings. Oh, no, we don't. Yeah, there's no hell. Y'all just made that up. Oh, no, there's a hell. No, there is no hell. Y'all just made that up to scare people. No, really. And so we're almost out the door. So I just flipped my Bible up and just fell open. I don't remember what it was. I said, here, read something. He said, what? I said, I don't care. Just here, chapter 35, read that. Why? Well, the Bible says when the word comes, the devil comes immediately to steal that word. And since you don't believe there is a devil, read something and he'll show up. And he just stared at me and said, close that back up. No, really, come on. And he didn't make it to the graveside service. I have not seen him in 3 years. And what you don't realize, when you start moving out for God, you're going to attract hell. And there's people in your life, my life, we know, well, I don't have anything bad happen to me because you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a threat to hell. Hell leaves you alone because you're going to burn forever with the devil and he's not messing with you. He's trying to get people to spend eternity in hell with him. That's his goal. He's not messing with you if you're not doing anything. But the minute you start moving after God, you're going to attract hell. Every story in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. When the hell show up? When I start doing something for God. And
yeah.
So you got to press in.
Yeah.
You got to be more than a conqueror, an overcomer. But you can't do that without a vision.
Yeah.
Where are you going? Here? When'd you get there? Where's your next vision? What's phase two of your vision? Phase three of your vision? You don't stop. You keep moving.
Absolutely. And I think, too, you know, the Word of God says that my people perish because of a lack of vision. And so there's perishing involved, there's depression involved, but whenever there is vision, there's hope and there's peace and there's a future. And so if I can keep my eyes forward,
there's joy in that,
yes,
too, by the way.
And that's why I love Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, thoughts of and plans of a hope and a future. So
yes,
that means that correlating with or coexisting with that vision, there's going to be hope. And so if I'm living in a depressed state, then I need to get a vision again. I need to start looking forward.
By the way,
again,
the future, you never arrive there. It's always in the future.
It's always.
And that's why God said, you keep focusing forward. Whatever you, listen, David, King David, he whipped a lion. And I'm sure after that he whipped that lion, he thought, man, Lord, that lion about killed my daddy's sheep. I hope I don't have to kill another lion. No more lion, son. Last lion. A week later, a bear attacked the sheep.
Like, yeah.
Oh, man, it takes that sling to kill that bear. Oh, man, I hope I don't have to kill another bear. No, that's the last bear, son. Then it's a 10-foot, 2-inch giant. His ass killed Goliath. And all of David's life, whatever he whipped, the next time he had to whip something bigger and bigger and bigger. God's trying to grow us up, not have us pull back. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. And so, Joe, you have a great series called The Incredible Power of Vision. And I'm going to go back and listen to that myself again. But if people are in a place where they're wondering, okay, I recognize I need to have a vision, what would be maybe one or two steps that you could give them to start cultivating that vision again and start going forward instead of living in failures?
Get your pencil and a piece of paper. There's an old book written years ago by a very successful lady out in California called Write It Down and Make It Happen.
Yeah.
So what you want to do, you want to write the vision.
Yeah.
Make it plain so those that read it can run with it.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do in life? Well, I think I'd like to. I've counseled a guy one time, a very successful white-collar worker at a big company here in my city. Well, they closed down, and he's laid off. And so he comes by my office, been very successful. He said, I lost my job. There are no other jobs like the one I had here in town. That big company doesn't exist anymore. I said, I'm probably going to lose my house. My kids got to drop out of college. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, what do you think you're called to do? He said, what? What are you called to do? And he said, well, I'm an usher, Section 4 at church. No, I don't mean ministry. What do you think God put you on this planet for? What are you supposed to be doing? He said, well, I don't know. So I'm, and so finally I said, I'm going to tell you what. So I got out a piece of white paper from the copy machine and I got a pencil. I said, I'm going to step out of the office for 5 minutes. And for the next 5 minutes, you write down your future. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? I said, well, number one, I want a job. Well, what kind of job? Because God's very detailed. What kind of job do you want? Just any job? You know, work down here at the, grocery store or the checkout person or what do you want? What do you want to do? And so wherever you start, I don't care what I'm doing, I want to think bigger. So every job I ever had, I was looking for the next level. People say, how'd you become an engineer? I started off as a janitor. How'd you become an engineer? I started off as a janitor. And I realized, I don't want to stay here. So I bet on every job. I moved up the food chain. If you pay 10 cents an hour more than I was making, I have a lot of hobbies. Work's not one of them. I work for cash. And so I had a vision to be successful in business. And so when I became an engineer, I wasn't qualified. I'd been a lab technician. So the guy that hired me sent me back to night school for 4 years. And so when I became a school administrator, they told us we finally had to, you need to get your master's in education. Now it's the easiest master's to get, and I've told this story so many times. So I went back to the local university, 3 summers, 32 hours, I get a master's in education. So I'm in my third year, and I'm finishing up, and they asked me to come down to the office. Joe, can you come down to the office today? I said, sure. So I came to the office, and he said, Joe, we can't find your bachelor's degree anywhere. I said, well, probably not. Well, did you not submit it? I said, I don't have one. You have to have one. How'd you get in the master's program? They said I needed it, and I just showed up at class. I was the first one here. And so, actually, I taught two of them because Dr. Don Petrick started Stephen University. He was my teacher. He said, Joe, can you take this class? I got to go back to Missouri. And so two of them I taught. And so how do you do this? You put one foot in front of the other. But if you have no vision, you won't put a foot anywhere. You don't know where you're going. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if I can get there. I don't have enough money. I don't have time. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too scared. I'm too bald. And there's always the devil trying to come out of your mouth. Don't keep your mouth shut. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Absolutely.
Let the weak stand strong. Let the poor stand rich. Call those things to be not as though they are. Where are you going? Well, I'm going somewhere important.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something. I'm going to be somebody. And so you got to get a vision for your life, and you got to talk it. You got to write it down. So the greatest thing you'll ever do is get a piece of paper and just take 5 minutes by yourself. If money, time, and talent are no object, there's no hope. Well, I don't have enough education. Forget your education. By the way, I collected 1,206 biographies for my high school students in 10 years when I was administrator of people who became millionaires and billionaires who never finished school, who never finished elementary school. I mean, they had no education, but they became very successful. Why? They had a vision to do something.
Yeah.
The Henry Fords, they had a vision to do something. So vision's critical. What do you want? So take one piece of paper, 5 minutes, money, time. Well, I'd like to do this. And I think so. Think big. I remember one very successful football coach just lost his job at a college, and he said, "I went into depression for 3 days. It took forever to get this one job as an assistant, and not a very good college." Well, they hired a new head coach, and he fired everybody. Well, football season started.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? I got two babies in diapers with another one on the way. So I went home, and I didn't know what depression was. I went into it. My wife got mad. She came one day, threw a pad down in front of me. Here, he said, get a vision for your life. Write down what you want to do.
Hmm.
And he said, well, I did it just to shut her up. So number one, I need a job. What kind of job I want? Well, I want to be the head coach instead of an assistant coach so I can fire instead of getting fired. Where do you want to be head coach at? Well, I'm Catholic. Why not Notre Dame? I want to be head coach at Notre Dame. What else you want? Well, I want to meet the Pope. The what? I want to meet the Pope. I'm Catholic. Where's God at? Man, I've been trying to do right with God, and man, I go to Mass, sell my stuff. Where's God? I want to meet the Pope. You know, I want to be on the Johnny Carson. So he wrote down like 112 impossible things, and his wife came back about an hour later, he just shut it. There's my vision. Well, his testimony is 84 of those things came to pass.
Hmm.
He became head coach at Notre Dame. He won a national championship. He was on the Johnny Carson show. He met the president. He ate at the White House with the president. 84 of the why. He wrote it down.
Yeah.
It starts by writing it down. What do you want to do? Well, no excuse. If there's no time, it's eternal. There's no money problems. What do you want to do? Write it down.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised what you'll come up with. You think, well, I think I've always wanted to do this. Well, then let's take one step at a time and get there.
Yes, that's so good. And it's so important because a lot of times, like you said, it is one step at a time.
Yeah.
And I always equate it back to losing weight. If you need to lose 20 pounds, if you just think about the 20 pounds, you'll never start losing 1 pound.
No.
And so you got to lose the 1 pound, that first pound, that's writing it down.
Woo.
And then get the game plan. Okay, what's one step that I can take to start moving in that direction?
We're going to $3.99 instead of $400.
Yes, absolutely.
Knock this sucker off, boy.
And one thing to know, too, is when you're writing that down, expect that God's going to give you creative ideas.
There it is. There's the connection. God says, you do something, I'll do something. You know, you got to take a step before God takes a step.
Yeah.
I move, God moves. I move, God moves. I don't move, God doesn't move.
Yeah.
God works with us, but we have to take the first step. They're crossing the Jordan River, and God told the priest, put your foot on the water. They said, it's too deep. We can't. No, put your foot on the water. No, you need to part it. No, I won't part it until you put your foot on it.
Yeah.
Moses, the Red Sea. God told Moses, lift up that staff. What are we going to do? It's too deep. No, lift the staff and I'll part the water. God said, you do something, I'll do something.
Absolutely.
I'll ask you to do something natural, I'll do the supernatural. So whatever God's going to ask you to do is real simple. It's real easy. You're capable of doing it right now.
Yeah.
Do something natural. What are we going to do? Well, I think I'll take a shower and clean up like I got a job. I think I'll brush my teeth.
Yep.
Get me a mint.
You know? Yep.
And you'll be surprised. A phone will ring. Somebody will knock on the door. When you start to move, God will show up like a freight train.
Yep.
You do the natural. I'm not God. I can't do supernatural, but I can do the natural. But God loves to show off.
Yes, he does.
God's looking for somebody to show himself strong in.
Yep.
Whoa, that's how you get God to move.
And God will never ask you to do something without giving you the grace to do it.
Ooh.
He asked you, and he told us, he actually commanded us to write the vision down, make it plain. So if he asked me to do it, if I will step out and say, okay, I'm going to do this, then he's going to be right there with the Holy Spirit to help me that as I'm writing, I might write something I didn't even think about.
I know,
that comes
it is.
Straight from the heart of God. But I had to put my pen or my pencil to the paper or even just typing it on the keyboard, whatever you got to do.
Come on.
You just start. You're taking that first step of faith. Everything we did in the kingdom of God, even entering our relationship with God, was through faith.
Yep.
And our journey with God is going to continue to be by faith. So
I
have to trust, okay, he asked me to do this. As I do this, he's going to reveal things to me. And one thing that helped me so much is to get to this understanding that God wants me to know his plan.
Yes. He's not playing games.
He's not hiding it. He's not waiting for me to prove something. He wants me to know his vision for my life.
That's good.
He desires for me to understand his purpose for my life.
That's good.
He's not withholding it. So what do I do? Now I need to take, like Joe was saying, take that first step, write it down, and then put some faith into it and say, okay, God, even if you got to say it out, God, I believe as I write this down that there's going to be something that comes through these hands and through this pen that you're going to reveal to me the next step. And even if you tell, I used to say this all the time, God, I don't need to know 10 years down the road, but I need to know today. I need to know tomorrow. I need to know the next thing you'd have me to do. And as I do that and I obey, I trust you're going to show me the next step and the next step and the next step.
Give me something right here. Twice I've lost my job in my life. Great job, plant shut down. I went to the unemployment office. Before I went home and I changed clothes and I ironed my clothes and I showered and I shaved and I went into the unemployment. And you ever been in the unemployment office? It is the most depressed, smelly place you've ever walked into. I thought, who would hire these people? I mean, look at them. I mean, it's like depression. And so I remember when I went in, I'm clean. There were 17 of us in that room. Now I'm number 17. I just walked in. And so you got to go up front, sign the thing. We did, well, I'm here looking for a job, looking for work. So all of a sudden, this lady steps, well-dressed, and she's in this hallway. She said, you, come here. Me? Yeah, you come here. And so I walked past everybody else down the hallway, and she said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I've been a lab tech. I just got laid off. I'm looking for a job. What kind of job you want? I'll take any job. No, what kind of job do you want? And I'm learning some lessons. She said, you want to be working in another lab? Well, that'd be great. I said, well, we have this new paint company just opened up, and they need somebody working in the lab. I said, okay. She said, wrote that. Go. And so a door opened just because I cleaned up.
Yeah.
Look like you're going somewhere. Act like you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Do something. I can shave. I can bathe. They're still making ivory soap for about 50 cents a bar. I can clean up. They still make ironboards, believe it or not. You still iron your shirt. Don't wear some skanky sweatshirt going looking for a job. Comb your hair. Don't wear that hat backwards. Get that thing off your head. Go out and look like you're going somewhere, and you will attract people. I promise you, you will.
Absolutely. And so, guys, we hope that you are encouraged by this because, again, God wants you to know his purpose and his plan for your life. But it takes you, first of all, making a decision. I'm going to dream again. I'm going to allow God to dream his dreams through me. And that's going to take my first step of just getting some paper, writing it down, and then believing once I do it, he's going to tell me what to do next and help me do what he told me to do. So we want to thank all of you guys for tuning in today. And thank you for all of you that share this on Facebook and YouTube and listen to the audio version on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and
everywhere.
Your favorite platform, wherever you listen. And guys, until next week, thank you so much for joining Live with Joe.
God bless, guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.